young people.
They hand them out.
Are you going to Farm Bureau?
Red light.
We'll call our meeting to order. When I saw the $3.5 billion worth of requests, I knew there would be far more upset people than happy people when we put the bill together. As many of you know, we were on site, had on site meetings on 301 on site meetings, and you learn far more on site than you ever do in the state capitol. But in talking to the people on the committee and many others, we did put together a proposal. I've talked to, I believe, everybody on the committee and run through them. Mr. Michel, I don't think you were there. Were you?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, you were there. Okay. So I think they all know what is in the bill. At this time, I would ask that the people pass out to the committee the spreadsheet. You've got the bill in your pockets, but okay. And audience, you will get them, but please don't stampede. I mean, there could be a casualty or two. I have seen it before, and
the president of the Senate will hand them out. Oh, sorry, Mr. President.
I thought maybe the minority leader could
let him get run over. Huh?
Yeah. Foster, you, Mr. Chairman.
You can't ask for anything more. No.
Well, if I have to hand them out, I will.
Thank you.
I can't tell. Well, we have to do that. You can't get away with it. The surface, but what else?
Yeah, it's a nice campus.
I
got a good look out there.
I get one this year.
I got one.
I have one wonderful chance to be present.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Is that one? Is that one on the lighting? Do we do that now?
Oh, you know what? He didn't approve the additional 60 feet.
Peter, do you have that lighting
here?
I'll get up Grand Browns.
At the end.
Well, maybe it will be coming back.
You want to wait till the end of all the explanation is done and it's
Hello?
Almost time to vote?
Yes?
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
That's well. That's
get anything
copies.
Real? No.
I've just
hey, do your starting wellness you. Center or your what was the name of that thing?
What's up?
He's got the
success center. He's got round the rounds. Sewer plant out there. Success center. They're probably.
They're coming down. They're coming down.
I have a feeling, though, that people
called
are
called them on a rug.
Those flood mitigation things.
You know, your committee, I think, needs to have some more.
Probably never drove lights. Take advantage of that, but they're not listed on here. They go to the DNR and they request it. What? Is there a chance?
It's to offer, but I guess.
I see there's names here that. We've gotten two or three.
Was she going to?
I don't see her.
Here and
she said
there.
She wanted her.
So there's a chance.
This
they
is
could
that housing language. Wow. This is those housing bonds.
Okay, Cockle.
Sure. Do you want to set up
what?
A meeting with the trade office?
Buy it at DNR.
And meet together.
I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know why I didn't
go through
it. Oh, yes, do the amendments after the spreadsheet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I meant
that
you're for Amateur Sports Commission.
You.
Open up
okay.
Okay.
You have to just flip that
thing.
He's
on there now.
Oh, no. You're going to break it. You're going to break it. That thing is hooked on there.
He didn't win, obviously. He's got a better job now.
Yeah. Somebody thinks they're counterintuitive.
So we just need to add the.
That's going to break. You see that it's how it's hooked? It shouldn't be hooked on there.
College centers.
Okay, we will get started. Kathy will move through the bill, and if there are comments as we go, but some of it certainly can be left until we get through the spreadsheet. But if you have some questions as we go through, I'll make some comments probably as we go as well. So go ahead, Kathy.
And shall I go fairly quickly?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. University of Minnesota asset preservation HEPR is $40 million. The science teaching facility in Minneapolis is $48.333 million. The civil engineering addition in Duluth is $10 million. Community services building renovation in Morris is $5 million. The Bell Museum on the St. Paul campus is $24 million. We're skipping over Falwell Hall, and we're doing the classroom renewal system-wide, $2 million. The general lab renovation system-wide is $3.333 million. And the Research and Outreach Center on the Crookston campus is $1.33 million.
Yeah, that's a total of $133 million. And as you probably notice, we did it a little different than the governor. He did Falwell Hall. We did the Bell Museum. And we did that in talking to the people at the university. I guess there's a lot of private money kind of waiting to go with the Bell Museum, and they felt that was more timely than Falwell Hall.
Yeah. Okay, on the Minsk U campus, HEPR asset preservation is $50 million. Mankato Trafton Science Center, $17 million. St. Cloud State Brown Hall is $9.867 million. And just a reminder, those numbers are all the two-thirds share that the state pays. So you see on the total state request, the total cost of the buildings. St. Paul College Transportation and Tech Lab, $9 million. Bemidji State Satgast Science Building, $5.933 million. Normandale Community College classroom renovation, $4.667 million. Inverhills classroom addition, $8.8 million. North Hennepin Business and Technology addition, $8.867 million. Science Labs, this is all 11 renovations, $3.85 million. Northland Community College and Technical College East Grand Forks, $5.2 million. Moorhead State University, Lohman Hall, $8.733 million. Century College, classroom and student support space, $5.267 million. Southwest State Science Labs, $6 million. Classroom, this is all seven renovations, $2.417 million. Lake Superior Community and Technical College Health Edition, $7.333 million. Metropolitan State University Classroom Center Edition, $3.32 million. Alexandria Technical College Law Enforcement Center, $7 million. Metro State and Minneapolis Community and Technical College, the law enforcement facility in Brooklyn Park, is $9.67 million. Mesabi Range Community and Technical College, $3.333 million. Winona State University Memorial Hall Edition, $8.4 million. Moorhead Community and Technical College's Trades Edition and Design Library, $1.667 million. Anoka Ramsey Community College classroom building construction, $2.533 million. We skip down to Minneapolis Community and Technical College, $267,000. And then we skip to Minnesota West, the Fieldhouse renovation, $300,000. South Central College in Faribault, $267,000. The property acquisition is for six out of the eight properties requested. For $6.703 million. Owatonna College and University Center, $2.333 million. Anoka Ramsey and North Hennepin Bioscience, $600,000. Moorhead State Livingston Lord Library, $267,000. Southwest State Science Lab Renovation, $133,000. St. Cloud Science and Engineering Lab Design, $600,000. Dakota Technical College Transportation and Emerging Technology Lab Design, $133,000. St. Cloud Technical College, Health Building Renovation, $133,000. And that's it.
Liz. Second page.
Okay, Department of Education, the Red Lake School Capital Loan, $32 million. Library Accessibility and Improvement Grants, $1 million. Anoka Hennepin Native Prairie Wetland, $240,000. The Osseo School District Northwest Hennepin Regional Family Service Center, $2 million. And that's it for education. The Minnesota State Academies, Pollard Hall renovation, $200,000. Freshet Hall renovation, $100,000. Asset preservation, $2.4 million. And Mott Memorial Hall renovation, $3.3. Then the Purpich Center for the Arts, the master plan is $206,000. Asset preservation, $355,000. Delta Dorm windows and cooling project, $385,000. And the prefab storage and workshop building, $53,000. Then to the DNR, the flood hazard mitigation grants is $30 million. And you see following that all of the communities that are eligible for that money. Browns Valley flood mitigation is $3.9 million out of the general fund.
That has to be out of the general fund because the bypass channel is actually on the South Dakota side of the river, and we can't bond out of state.
Dam repair, $2 million. Groundwater monitoring, $1 million. Rim wildlife area acquisition, $6 million. Forest land and legacy conservation easements, $9 million. State parks and state recreational area facility improvements, $8.65 million. State forest land reforestation, $3 million. Native prairie conservation and protection, $3 million. Rim critical habitat match, $3 million. SNA's acquisition and development, $1 million. Fish hatchery improvements, $1 million. Water control structures, $500,000. And then the state trail acquisition, rehab, repair, and acquisition totals $14.6 million. Do you want me to read through each of those?
Yeah, go ahead. But then mention that there's other trails in another place.
Okay, the state trails rehab is $3 million. That kind of covers a lot of them. The Blufflands Chester Woods Trail is $970,000. Casey Jones, $700,000. Gateway Trail, $750,000. Gitche-Gami Trail, $1.6 million. The Great River Ridge, $1.5 million. The Heartland Trail, $1.5 million. The Milltowns land acquisition is $500,000. And the Milltowns in Faribault is $150,000. The Minnesota Valley Trail from Appleton to Milan is $680,000. The Paul Bunyan Trail, $2 million. The Root River Trail has two pieces. Preston to Forestville is $500,000. And the Eastern Extension is $200,000. The Stagecoach Trail is $550,000. Then under local trails, the Cambridge-Isanti Bike Walk Trail is $156,000. And there will be more trails in the Metropolitan Council section later. Water access acquisition is $1 million. State park development on the North Shore is $1.65 million, and that goes to Split Rock and Teta Gooch and Gooseberry Falls. The state park rehab and development acquisition is $2.4 million, and that's what's needed for Greenleaf State Recreation Area. The Cuyuna County State Recreation Area Enhancements is $1 million. The Vermilion State Park acquisition is $100,000 and it's user financed. The statewide asset preservation is $2 million. The Red River Basin digital elevation mapping is $600,000. And the Wildlife Rehab Center is $500,000. And those are both general fund. Big Bog State Recreation Area is $1.6 million. The Red River Recreation Area campsites, $200,000. Forest Roads and Bridges, $1 million. The Fort Snelling Upper Bluff building repairs is $500,000. The Minnesota River Headwaters Regional Improvements is $129,000. And the Wabasha County Lake Zumbro dredging and restoration is $175,000.
Really good.
Let's see. Under the PCA, there's $2,500,000 to Albert Lee, and then $25 million from a new program for the closed landfill program, and that will cover Mille Lacs, Washington County, Lake Elmo, Duluth, and Albert Lee. Should I go on?
Go ahead.
Okay, under the Water and Soil Resources Board, we have $15 million for the RIM Reserve Program, $4.2 million for the wetland replacement, local government road wetland replacement program, $720,000 for that same program administration out of general fund. The RIM clean energy easements bioenergy production is $3 million. The biofuels pilot project program administration is $300,000. And the Lake Titlow drainage improvements is $650,000. Under the Minnesota Zoological Gardens, $7.5 million for asset preservation. And then under the Department of Administration, there's $2.325 for property acquisition, $13.4 for the Capitol Building critical maintenance, and $2 million for the Capitol Building restoration design, $3 million for statewide CAPRA, and $500,000 for the pre-design of the Emergency Operations Center. Under the Department of Public Safety, the training facility at Anoka Sherburne Wright Counties, $4 million. The Gonvick Northern Emergency, $55,000. The Camp Ripley Homeland Security, $5 million. The Marshall Emergency Response Design, $300,000. The Minneapolis Hennepin County Joint Emergency Operations Center, $2 million. And the Olmsted County Regional Training Center, $3.655 million. And the Scott County facility, $1 million. Amateur Sports Commission. The National Volleyball Center in Rochester is $4 million. National Sports Center Asset Preservation in Blaine, $1.4 million. The Moorhead Regional Sports Center, $4 million. The Marshall Regional Sports Center, $100,000. The St. Paul Regional Sports Center, $100,000. North Metro Regional Sports Center in Arden Hills, $125,000.
Well, smaller numbers, of course, are planning money.
Military Affairs, $5.5 million for asset preservation. Facility Life and Safety is $1 million. ADA alterations is $1.5 million. Under Transportation, we have $1 million for the Rice Street Bridge. And the Urban Partnership Agreement, there's a lot of money in the transportation bill, but in this bill, $9 million general fund. And let's see, that's it. $2 million for Greater Minnesota Transit Facilities. Rail Service Improvements is $2 million. Port Development Assistance is $2 million. The St. Cloud Regional Airport Property Acquisition, $2 million. The St. Louis County and Lake County Regional Rail Authority, North Shore Express to St. Paul, $1.5 million. And the High Speed Corridor, St. Paul to Chicago, $2 million. Under the Metropolitan Council,
that's under the Met Council.
The Central Corridor Light Rail, $70 million. Metropolitan Regional Parks Program is $6 million. Anoka County Rice Creek North Regional Trail, $2.3 million. Bloomington Old Cedar Avenue Bridge, $1.5 million. Fridley Springbrook Nature Center, $2.8 million. Invergrove Heights Heritage Park, $100,000. Minneapolis Grand Round Scenic Byway Bridge Replacement, $600,000. This next one is the Minneapolis Grand Rounds, and it's the Scenic Byway, but it's not the light renovation. That was my mistake, and Senator Langseth has an amendment to change this, but it is $2 million. But it's not for the lights. The Minnehaha Falls repairs, $2.5 million. The Ramsey County Lower Afton Trail, $450,000. The Ramsey County Tamarack Nature Center, $745,000. The St. Paul Como Zoo Polar Bear and Gorilla Exhibit, $11 million. St. Paul National Great River Park Land Acquisition, $3.8 million. South St. Paul North Urban Regional Trail Bridge, $1.4 million. And here's some more of the Urban Partnership Agreement to the Met Council, $4.003 million from the General Fund and $16.672 General Obligation Bonds.
The federal government came up with $130 million last fall, and there's a $50 million match, and part of it is in this bill, and part of it was in the transportation bill.
Then the transitway corridors, Interstate 94, $750,000, Interstate 494, $500,000, Southwest Corridor, $500,000, Bottineau Boulevard, Northwest Busway, $500,000, and Robert Street, $500,000. The Dakota County Cedar Avenue Bus Rapid Transit is $6 million. The Union Depot is $1 million. Red Rock Park and Ride, $500,000, and Rush Line Park and Ride, $500,000. Department of Human Services, system-wide asset preservation, safety, and security, $5 million, And system-wide redevelopment, reuse, and demolition, $4.5 million. The early childhood facility grants, $3 million. And the Pope County West Central Multi-County Treatment Center, $150,000. Under Veterans Affairs, asset preservation is $7 million. And the rest of these are the 35% state share of the projects. So Minneapolis Building 9 demolition, $350,000. The Minneapolis New Nursing Building, $9.1 million. The Fergus Falls Special Care Unit, $2.7 million. The Silver Bay Master Plan renovation, $227,000. The Minneapolis Campus HVAC upgrade, $3.955 million. And the Richfield All Veterans Memorial is $200,000. Under corrections, the Faribault Expansion Phase 3 is $16,341,000. System-wide, department-wide asset preservation, $10 million. The Red Wing Vocational Building, $6 million. And that's it. Then under deed, the redevelopment program is $10 million. Business, bioscience business development is $10 million. And Greater Minnesota business development is $10 million. The Duluth Entertainment and Convention Center is $40 million. The Itasca County Public Infrastructure is $30 million. The Midgee Regional Event Center, $22 million. Crookston Arena Project Relocation, $10 million. Mankato Civic Center Expansion, $975,000. Minneapolis Orchestra Hall Redevelopment, $3 million. Minneapolis Schubert Theater, $2 million. Rochester Convention Center and Mayo Civic Center, $3.5 million. St. Cloud National Hockey Center, $10 million. St. Louis County Equestrian Facility, $900,000. St. Paul Asian Pacific Cultural Center, $7 million. St. Paul Gillette Children's Hospital, $300,000. And under the Public Facilities Authority, $6 million for the Drinking Water Match, and the Clean Water Match is $24 million. The Wastewater Infrastructure Fund is $10 million. And $300,000 for the administrative expenses for WIF. The Small Community Wastewater Treatment, $2 million. Wastewater Stormwater TMDL grants, $2 million. And Phosphorus Reduction grants, $2 million. To streamline the infrastructure financing, $100,000 from the General Fund. And the Upper Sioux Community Water System, $750,000 from the General Fund. And that's it until you get over to the page 9. The house, what did I miss? Oh, I got it here too. Okay. The Minnesota Historical Society, Historic Fort Snelling Visitor Center, $4.9 million. Historic Sites Asset Preservation, $5 million. County and Local Historic Preservation Grants, $1 million. Kelly Farm Vitalization, $1.5 million. And the Heritage Trails, $294,000, which finishes the Fort Ridgely project.
On the historical Fort Snelling, at one time we had quite a bit more money in there, but the National Park Service says that they could not build their visitor center that they wanted in the location that they're talking about. So that got put on hold for a while.
And the Lewis and Clark refinancing bonds to general fund is $5.282 million, and we will have a cancellation of the bonds, and then we need to use general fund for that. Bond sale expenses is $978,000, and then we have cancellations. The Northwest Busway cancels $17.262 million. The Knife River Larsmont Sanitary District, $1.5 million. The Lewis and Clark, $5.282 million. And the University of Minnesota Education and Technology Building, $2.571 million. So that's it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Senjum.
Okay.
Could either you or your assistant explain what a cancellation is? It is what it is. These projects aren't going forward.
It cancels out authorizations from previous years. Senator Coring.
Now, Mr. Chairman, I have the A8 amendment. That's to put my small projects back in. That was supposed to be funny, you know.
You made me nervous, but I guess it's okay.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, can I speak to the amendment?
You certainly can.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The A8 amendment actually designates the Owatonna facility as a Minscu facility. All the other facilities, it's my understanding that they are designated as Minnesota State College and Universities, and colleges located, and then it has all listed in here, Austin, Bloomington, Brainerd, Brooklyn Park, Cloquet, Coon Rapids, and so on and so forth, and then this just adds Owatonna to the list. And I also want to thank the chairman on behalf of Senator Day for putting the money in there for the acquisition of the property down in Owatonna. I think that was I was on that tour when we went, and I believe that was the right thing to do. So
that was that facility is owned by the city and will now be owned by Minsk. Okay, motion has been made. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried. Well, let's see. We've got a couple other amendments. Yeah. We have to straighten things out here.
Expeditious.
Betcha.
That's what counts most.
Yeah, but does it explain it?
President?
Huh?
Donna? Okay, no, she's handing out another one.
No, we don't need that.
She's still
I trust it.
She's still handing out the
one. This is the
Adam.
Oh, okay.
And this is the grand prize. Okay.
Which one should we hand out next?
They didn't give anything to Senator.
We do the Wells one.
Okay, there's one dealing with the Wells.
$40 million, Yvonne.
Crane Depot.
What?
Has that been handed out?
We got Chelsea Clinton.
Part of Berglund's health plan.
A11. There was one area of the state that got virtually nothing, and we were looking back to see. There was a couple of things that I just didn't feel I could justify putting in the bill, but this one, we did visit this, and this $30,000 for the Wells Train Depot, it was for a repair of a roof, will come out of the local grants from the Historical Society. So it isn't very much, but... at least it's something that I think we can justify for that particular area.
Is somebody moving that amendment, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Coring moves the amendment.
I would so move it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried. The 810 amendment. This is the mistake that Kathy had mentioned, that money is not to go for the lighting. It's to go for
scenic byway. The scenic byway.
Yeah, it's to go for the scenic byway.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what was the code?
That's it.
Well, what is that housing? Should I ask Dick if he wants to do a special
work? Isn't that a wells? No. Is that the bond house? You can do it in your committee if you want.
Rooftop.
I think so.
Okay. That'll be fine.
Okay.
Are there any more
papers? I don't think there's any more. I will get it. Luther.
How do we know what the total was on this?
On the who?
On the bill. Do we know what the total is?
I don't think you can rent it.
Look like it.
It won't be. Floor.
Quicklier.
Tables are too small.
Quicklier. Yeah, we're done now. So now you.
Okay, Peter will go through the language.
Did we vote on this one yet?
Yes, we did.
The A-10?
Yes.
I remember when they won.
We did, didn't we?
No, no, did we vote on the A-10?
We didn't adopt the A-10 yet, did we?
Oh, I guess we didn't.
I'll move it.
Senator Stump moves the amendment. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried. Peter.
Mr. Chairman, beginning at the beginning of the bill, you'll see in the first page is the beginning of the summary of the bill. You're familiar now with all of those numbers there. I won't, in going through the bill, try to describe all of the numbers, but just try to highlight some of the more unusual or different things in the language, because most of the language is just describing in more detail the same things that Kathy pointed out when she went through. Moving to page 4, subdivision 9 makes clear that the appropriations to the University of Minnesota are for just two-thirds of the cost of the project and that the university will come up with the remaining one-third. Subdivision 10 says that money that's remaining from any of these appropriations may be spent by the Board of Regents on HEPR projects. They have to then report to the legislature on how those monies were spent. In Minsky, you'll find a similar language about the use of unspent money toward the end of the section, and that's going to be on, before you get there, on page 11, lines 1115 to 1119 at Winona State University, the Memorial Hall, that appropriation is for 100% of the state share because the board will be using other private money to pay their share of this project. Then moving to the language about debt service, subdivision 28 on pages 12 and 13 lays out the boilerplate whereby the state sells the bonds and calculates what one-third of the debt service on those bonds will be and then sends a bill on a regular basis to Minsky, which pays that one-third out of their other money. Subdivision 29 at the bottom of page 13 has the same provision for the use of unspent money for HEPR projects as is for the university. And you'll find toward the end of the bill, this same language is codified so that it will not need to be repeated in future years. Section 4, the Department of Education, with the Red Lake School on page 15, there are requirements for a report back to the legislature. This is the bottom of page 15, starting in line 1533, by January 10th, 2009, on the progress of the project. And it also permits the appropriations made in 2005 and 2006 for the same project to continue to carry forward until July of this year, 2008. Otherwise, they would be canceling because they're older appropriations. Under Subdivision 4 on the Osseo School District facility, lines 16, 20 to 24 require a report by the Commissioner of Education after 5 years and how the facility has improved student achievement and reduced educational disparities. Moving to the Department of Natural Resources on page 18, there's a general requirement on lines 15 to 22 that the each of these programs, these appropriations, be subject to the DNR's capital improvement program. There's an overall plan that they have to fit within. And the flood hazard appropriations on lines 19, 27, and 28, the Canisteo mine, there's no local match for this project. For most of these projects, there is a 50-50 match required, but not for the mine. On page 20, lines 19 to 27,
is language that's been in the bill for several years now, saying that for the project, most of this is in the Red River Valley, where the cost of the project exceeds 2% of the median household income multiplied by the number of households, there is no local match required. On page 23, lines 25 to 28 requires a 2-to-1 match for expenditure of the forest land and forest legacy conservation easements within a forest legacy area. On page 24, near the bottom, lines 29 to 35, and then on the top of page 24, require that the appropriation for the Fort Snelling Upper Bluff not be available until Hennepin County has entered into agreements with sentenced to serve labor on the project. Page 25, lines 19 to 28 are money for Lake Vermilion State Park, and starting on line 23, it requires that the debt service on these bonds be paid from the Natural Resources Trust Fund. So they're classified as user finance, not paid by the general fund.
That is just a placeholder, so we could possibly deal with something later.
Mr. Chair, just a question on that. I don't know if Mr. Watson can answer. Is there a requirement that that money from the trust fund be first appropriated by the LCCMR? Or can the legislature, despite any of the LCCMR's recommendations, appropriate from the trust fund?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Shadby, the legislature can disregard the recommendations of the LCCMR and require that the money be spent from the trust fund for this purpose.
There will be a lot of communication with a number of people before anything, before this even gets into the final bill.
And the last question, Mr. Chair, Mr. Watson, is the trust fund, is this structured as a revenue bond, because the trust fund doesn't issue bonds. So how does that work in the bonding committee using the trust fund money?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Shadby, these are ordinary state of Minnesota general obligation bonds, and they're backed by the full faith and credit of the state, including a general fund appropriation and, if need be, a statewide property tax. But the first source of payment is this appropriation from the Natural Resources Trust Fund. And it would only be if the trust fund were exhausted and unable to make the payment that there would be a call on the general fund. And only if the general fund is exhausted and unable to make the payment that there would be a call on a statewide property tax. So it's anticipated that because the trust fund is in healthy financial shape, there would not be a need to go beyond that as the revenue source. So these are sold as state GO bonds. They get the AAA credit rating or whatever rating the state's bonds are getting at the time. But they are not paid by the general fund. They're not a burden on the general fund.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think you're right. We're going to have to talk about this because the LCCMR did discuss this project, voted not to use the bonding process to fund this particular project, and to find it now kind of in the bonding bill is going to raise a lot of eyebrows.
I did talk to the chairman of the committee, and obviously he's just one person, but he said it was okay to put it in here. But like I say, I'm not going to make the decision to do this or more. It'll have to be quite a number of people involved. And I certainly think the chairman plus the members are going to have quite a bit to say about it. But I was asked to just put it in as a placeholder. I think the governor had the language. I don't think he had the 100,000, and I probably didn't need that either. But
well, Mr. Chair, I think we could save a whole lot of angst by finding another source for the 100,000. It doesn't have to come from the trust fund.
Yeah. Well, it's like I say, I'm not going to on my own pursue this. I was asked to put this in to kind of as a placeholder, and we'll be dealing with that in conference committee, I expect.
Okay.
Moving on then, Mr. Chairman, to the bottom of page 26, starting in line 32, is language that says that if the particular trails projects that are listed here are not ready to go, the commissioner may take that money that would not otherwise be spent and move it to another trail project identified in this subdivision, but then would report on that to the relevant chairs in the Senate and House. On page 27, lines 25 to 31, just say it's anticipated that through a joint powers agreement, Cambridge-Isanti and Isanti Township will share in the maintenance and upkeep of the Cambridge-Isanti bike walk trail. Subdivision 23 on page 28 is language similar to what we saw with the University of Minnesota and Minskew, but in this case it's limited to 10% of the appropriation of a project that's not complete can be used for asset preservation projects. Mm-hmm. Page 29, in connection with the $25 million of closed landfill cleanup revenue bonds that would be authorized later on in the bill, it requires a report by January 15, 2009 from the PCA on whether the remediation fund, which is the source of revenue to pay off the revenue bonds, is adequate to meet these debt service requirements, and if not, to recommend additional revenue. On page 30, in connection with the RIM Conservation Reserve Program, lines 12 to 17 require a report by Bowser to the legislature on how the program is going by October of this year and February 1 of next year. Page 31, in connection with the RIM Clean Energy Conservation Easements, lines 22 to 26 require an annual report to the House and Senate committees on how that pilot project is going. Page 32, in connection with the two Lake Titlow projects, lines 18 to 21 exempt this project from the normal requirements of the board for cost share on Bowser projects. And the bottom of page 33 is the pre-design for the State Emergency Operations Center, $500,000. But the language over on the top of page 34 says that if the appropriation is not fully spent, then it can be used to pre-design a co-located headquarters for the Departments of Public Safety and Corrections. Page 35, the Northwestern Minnesota Regional Sports Center in Moorhead, there is an equal match required, but permission on lines 12 to 15 for them to include in-kind contributions and contributions made previously since January 1 of 2007. On page 36, subdivision 5 in the middle of the page relating to military affairs has a similar authority to use unspent appropriations for other asset preservation projects at the Department of Military Affairs. Page 37, the top of the page, this relates to the Anoka County Forensic Crime Laboratory, requires a match of not an equal amount, but $7.5 million for this particular project. On subdivision 4, the Gonvick Public Safety Training Center is the usual equal match requirement. Likewise, that applies to the Marshall Emergency Response and Industry Training Center.
Mr. Chairman.
Language on the top of page 38. Similar language for the Minneapolis Operations Center, Scott County, and Southeast Minnesota.
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, on the Marshall Emergency Response Center, there was an amendment made in Senator Betzel's division that was not picked up in here. So at an appropriate time, I would like to amend it as it was in, as it came out of Senator Betzel's committee.
Okay.
Do you want to do it now? Yeah, you can do it now if you want
to. Mr. Chairman,
before we move on, okay. And depending on what it is, of course.
It's not too bad. Mr. Chairman, I would move on page 37, line 34, delete everything after including, and insert, and Mr. Watson, I can give this to you in writing, a wind energy training area, comma, an ethanol fuels training area, and other training facilities. And page 37, delete line 35. Page 38, delete lines 1 and 2. And after the period on page 38, line 6, the match may include in-kind contributions.
Any questions of the amendment? All in favor say aye.
Yeah. Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried.
Mr. Chairman, on page 39, we're in the Department of Transportation and the Urban Partnership Program, and it says that the $9 million appropriation is not available until the U.S. DOT has authorized funding for the Urban Partnership Agreement. It also limits the availability of the appropriation to June 30th of 2011. Page 40, relating to the rail service grant for the Chicago-St. Paul high-speed rail development, lines 19 to 26, prohibit the use of this appropriation for improvements that are located outside the state of Minnesota. Or if the rail corridor is not designated by the Midwest Interstate Passenger Rail Compact. On top of page 42, again, the urban partnership money. This is in the Metropolitan Council, the appropriation of $20.7 million not available until there is an authorization from the U.S. Department of Transportation. Page 43, lines 3 to 6. Relating to the Central Corridor Transit Way, say that Hennepin and Ramsey counties need not commit their matching money at a rate faster than dollar for dollar with the state money. Lines 7 to 19 authorize district heating and cooling corporations, organizations, to receive some of the money unless from this appropriation unless that would impact the Federal Transit Authority Cost Effectiveness Index. On page 46, there's a match requirement for the Heritage Village Park appropriation. That's on lines 18 to 21. On page 47, for the Minnehaha Creek, $2.5 million, there is a requirement of a match of $1.6 million. On page 48, relating to the Springbrook Nature Center, the match on lines 10 to 13 is required to be at least an equal amount. Moving into the Department of Human Services and the system-wide campus redevelopment, reuse, or demolition on the top of page 49. Lines 13 to 18 say that if a surplus, a campus is sold, the unspent portions of this appropriation may be granted to the local unit of government for the same purposes. Page 49, the West Central Multi-County Secure Treatment Facility, Polk County must submit a report on how the project is working by February 1 of next year. In the Department of Veterans Affairs on page 50, there are a couple of places in relation to the Minneapolis Veterans Home where on lines 22 to 26, for example, the federal money, these appropriations are for the full cost of these projects, and the federal share for each project is 65%, and this language says that when that 65% comes in, it goes into the debt service account and the state bond fund to help pay off the bonds. That's true for both the Building 17 and for the new nursing facility. On page 51, the All Veterans Memorial, that $200,000 requires an equal match. That's lines 28 to 31. Page 53, the $750,000 grant to the Upper Sioux community for their water system requires a match of $375,000. That's on lines 31 to 34. Page 54, the wastewater infrastructure funding program, lines 12 to 26 require that the money be spent in accordance with the 2008 project priority list in priority order. On page 55 and 56, the bottom of the page, the Bemidji Regional Event Center, that $22 million appropriation. Lines 5 to 9 on 5 to 8 on page 56 require a match of $25 million. For the Chisholm Sioux and Water, lines 14 to 15 require an equal match. For the Crookston Ice Arena, that requires a match of $1,728,25. the bottom of page 57, the Mankato Theater and Hockey Center appropriation, there's an equal match required on lines 58.7 to 58.10. On page 58, the Schubert Arts and Education Center, lines 28 to 31, require an equal match. Page 59, the Asian Pacific Cultural Center, lines 70 to 20, require an equal match. For the Gillette Children's Specialty Health Care, lines 29 to 32 require an equal match. On page 61, section 23 is the limit on the sale of state bonds. You'll see in line 9 a requirement that no more than $880,761,000 be spent during this biennium as a transfer from the general fund to pay debt service. That is a number designed both to live within the 3% debt limit. That's a limit that no more than 3% of general fund revenues be used to pay debt service on bonds during the biennium. That's to live within the 3% and to provide enough money to cover all of the projects that are in this bill. Section 24 is the bond sale authorization. There's $1,029,000 from the general fund in subdivision 1. Subdivision 2 is $32 million from the Maximum Effort School Loan Fund. That's for the Red Lake School appropriation. Then the $1 million authorization on line 62.10 from the Transportation Fund bond account is for that Highway 36 bridge. The cancellations, I think Ms. Blair already explained what each of those were about. Sections 26 and 27 deal with renewable resources in state buildings. Section 26 requires that when a state agency prepares a pre-design for a new building, it must consider meeting at least 2% of the energy needs of the building from renewable resources located on the building site. And those renewable resources in this case are limited to wind and the sun. Section 27 extends a requirement that's been in the law for the last few years, saying that new state buildings have to live within sustainable building guidelines. This would extend that requirement to major renovations of state buildings that occur after February 1 of 2009. A major renovation is to be decided by the Department of Administration, but it cannot be less than 10,000 square feet or encompass less than the complete replacement of the HVAC system.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Watson, does all new state buildings, does that include Minsky?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, sections 28, 29, and 30 relate to the closed landfill cleanup revenue bonds, the $25 million. The first section, section 28, authorizes the use of money in the general portion of the remediation fund to pay debt service on these revenue bonds and to make that debt service payment a priority use of the revenue in the remediation fund so that the bondholders can be assured that their debt service will get paid. And Section 29 requires that the bond proceeds be deposited into a special bond proceeds account in the remediation fund. Section 30 authorizes the sale the sale is done by the Commissioner of Finance at the request of the Commissioner of the PCA for up to $25 million in principal amount of bonds. Those bonds, as it says on subdivision 3 on the top of page 6 are payable just from the remediation fund and whatever else the legislature might decide to pledge, and that subdivision 5 says these are not a general or a moral obligation of the state. Section 31 makes an adjustment in the amounts that may be paid as grants for early childhood learning and child protection facilities. You'll see on lines 67, 25, and 26 an increase of the grant per program from $200,000 to $300,000 and increase in the facility from $500,000 to $750,000. Lines 27 and 28 spell out what are early childhood programs. Lines 30 and 31 require a 50% state match. That's actually just a recodification of language that appears in the old law on the next page. There are requirements with these grants that on line 68.3, where feasible, they be used for programs that utilize youth build for at least 25% of the grant awarded and or $50,000 of the labor, whichever is less. Sections 32 through 34 are requested by MNSCU. The first one authorizes them to declare state improvements, not just state lands, to be surplus and sell the improvements, sell the buildings, not just the land. Section 33 increases from $50,000 to $3 million, the threshold for a project to be a minor capital project that need not have specific legislative approval. Section 34 is the codification of that language that I told you about at the front of the bill on the use of unspent appropriations for particular projects to be used for higher education asset preservation. Section 35 is a $100 million increase in the revenue bond authority of MNSCU from $150 million to $250 million. Sections 37 to 39 are the University of Minnesota's biomedical science research funding program. Section 36 states the purpose of the program. I think you're familiar with this because this was in the bill in a different form a year ago. But the difference in the way the program operates is that last year, well, 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, the first time it came through, the program provided for a special committee of legislators to authorize projects one at a time up to the total of what's now $233 million. The second time through last year, the language dispensed with that. No, I think last year it still had the special committee, didn't it? I guess last year it did still have the special committee the second time through. This time through, there is not the same legislative review of each project. Instead, there is just a limit of no more than 4 projects, and the total cost would not be more than $233.6 million. But instead of these being bonds that are sold by the state of Minnesota, GO bonds sold by the state, they would be bonds sold by the University of Minnesota, and the legislature would be committing the state to appropriate money each year to pay the debt service on those University of Minnesota bonds. The debt service schedule is listed on page 72 in subdivision 3, the list of appropriations. You'll see it starts out the beginning of the next biennium in 2010 at $1 million the first year, then 4 and 9, and then after a while it gets up to $16.575 million each year for the balance of the 25-year life of the bonds. there's no pledge by the state of its full faith and credit for the payment of the bonds. They are not state bonds. And there's no assertion in here that there is a moral obligation on the part of the state to actually make those appropriations, and no prohibition on the legislature from repealing these appropriations, but there they are. That's the program. But other than this action here, there would be no further legislative review of the projects. They're not brought back to the legislature for one-at-a-time approval. It's just the limit of four. Sections 40 and beyond to the end of the bill are various corrections, changes to previous capital improvement appropriation bills. And the first one, Section 40, is a reduction of $1.5 million in the appropriation from 2003 that was made for the Larsmont portion of the Knife River Larsmont Sanitary District. You'll see that language stricken on the top of page 73. That project apparently did not go forward. They did not spend any of the money. So the appropriation is canceled here, and the bond sale authorization was in that list that Ms. Blair read earlier. So this $1.5 million is used for other purposes within the bill. Section 41 just corrects a reference to the name of Green Lake State Recreation Area. Section 73 clarifies that the grant made in 2005 to Blue Earth for a fire and police station is actually going to the Economic Development Authority in the city. Section 43 authorizes a longer expiration date for the appropriation made in 2005 for improvements at the Agua Ching Regional Treatment Center. It carries it forward until 2010. Section 44 relates to the Minneapolis Veterans Home, an appropriation made in 2005, eliminating the requirement that this $2.2 million be spent for the same kind of asset preservation as is laid out in Section 16.8.632. That's a general statute on asset preservation, and this allows this money to be used for any kind of repairs and betterments. I think this was a general fund appropriation. I'm not sure. Section 45 is the Lewis and Clark water system that Ms. Blair mentioned earlier, that it's a conversion of this appropriation from bond proceeds to the general fund. There are some legal problems with it since it's the way it's structured with a private organization and in connection with the neighboring states. So this is general fund money.
But no, that says $2 million. And
there's another one.
Oh, there's another one.
Yeah, there's another one later.
You know, when we first funded this, the Senate funded it as cash. We were told by the Commissioner of Finance, no, it could be bonding. Now we're told by the new Commissioner of Finance, it has to be cash. So I guess we're getting a little whipsawed here, but that is an extremely important project for those communities down there. Water comes from South Dakota. That's why there's a problem with the bonds. But some of those cities probably could not stand a long-term drought. They just don't have enough water resources. But we've gone through that before, but this is the reason we keep jumping back and forth. The commissioners of finance got different ideas.
The other $3.282 million, you'll see at the almost at the end of the bill. On page 77, section 46 changes the agent receiving the grant for the Minneapolis Planetarium from the city of Minneapolis to Hennepin County in recognition of the transfer of the library to Hennepin County. Section 47 relates to the McPhail Music Center and clarifies some of the requirements for the MacPhail organization to come up with private donations to match the state money and allows pledges to be converted to a letter of credit secured by a mortgage on the property. This is an agreement that I think has already been carried out and the project has been built, but we're just following through. Page 79, section 48 is a change to the flood hazard mitigation appropriation of 2006 to include Roseau in the communities that may share in that appropriation. Section 49 on page 81 allows an appropriation of $3 million from the state to be spent in part when the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has agreed to commit federal money of at least $4 million to the project. So instead of spending all $3 million, they spend a million and a half on that approval. Section 50 allows an appropriation from 2006, $1 million for water control structures, also to be used for the water reserve program. Section 51 says that the Agassiz Recreational ATV Trail can use ATV money, snowmobile grant trail money, and ATV money as part of their match. Normally, that would have to be a non-state match. This is non-general fund or non-bond proceeds, but it's other state money being used for the local match. Section 52 takes an appropriation of $1.3 million from 2006 for the Northeast Rail Initiative and splits it into two pieces, with the first $400,000 being for the Heritage and Arts Center, for which there is no match required, and the next $900,000 being for the Regional Rail Authority for planning the rail line between Duluth and the Twin Cities. That part is separate, and the requirement of a federal match on line 82.31 is eliminated. Section 53 changes the recipient of $6 million from 2006, which was to be used to acquire land for the Empire Wetlands Wildlife Management Area and Regional Park in Dakota County. The grant now would go to Dakota County, and it would be described as a regional park adjacent to the Vermilion Highlands Research, Recreation, and Wildlife Management Area. So it's the same money, same area, just a different recipient. Page 85, section 54. There were two grants paid out of the redevelopment account in 2006, the $9 million appropriation, that were not to be subject to the normal requirement that there be a 50% match, a 50-50 match for the grant. And the first one is the Campbell Soup Factory in Worthington, and lines 24 to 26 say that those matching requirements and other requirements do not apply to the soup factory. And the second one is what was called the Shakespeare Festival in Winona. Now it's going to be a multi-purpose Shakespeare and Beethoven and Minnesota State University Winona Event Center. And that too, that was already exempt from the match requirement. No, a multi-event center.
Could you hold on for a minute, Mr. Watson? Yeah.
Just take it out of here.
That was my wife.
For Mr. Chairman, you and Rudolph Giuliani, I think.
Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that former Mayor Rudy Giuliani used to use that.
Oh, is that right?
Well, I've only had one wife. You should have taken it. We've been really impressed.
Which wife?
Are we done with the bill?
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Chairman, the last couple of sections, section
Mr. Chair,
55 on page 86, is that second section relating to Lewis and Clark water system. And the last one, section 56, just changed the description of the money for the Fort Snelling Museum. It's now the Fort Snelling Museum and Visitor Center, and we're not going to be renovating the 1904 Cavalry Barracks building.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Watson, on the, back on the previous page on the Campbell Soup Factory remediation, do you recall why they need to be exempt from these statutes?
Mr. Chairman, it's my recollection it was the match requirement. If there were others, I don't know what they were.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Watson, I think I'm looking at the right section. There's requirements for redevelopment plan for the site, detailed estimates.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Shadby, yes, it is exempt from all of those requirements by this language. But as I understood it, the reason why they really needed it was the match. I don't know that they had a problem with meeting the other requirements.
Thank you.
Senator Stump.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a question way back. Let's see if I can find it. On page 72. If you could, if Mr. Watson could explain that sentence on line 72.3 to 72.5, or 6. Actually, 5 and 6 is what I don't understand. Is the way it reads... provided that the bonds issued to pay the state's share of the costs must not exceed that amount.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stump, I think you have a good point. Because really, if you look back on the previous page where they set forth what is the state share and what is the university share, it used to say in the version that we had last year 80%, and on line 71.17 you'll see it still says that the share of the university is up to 80%, or for the share of the state is up to 80%, and the university on line 21 must pay at least 20% from it. So the state is paying for that 80%, but the bonds are being sold by the university, and the state's share of the costs are being paid by these annual appropriations to pay off the bonds. I think what they mean is that the university bonds, where the university is bonding for the 80%, that is the state's share, they may not exceed the $233.6 million.
I think it needs clarification.
It could be more clear.
Beat a dead horse to death.
Well, we could, when we go to the Finance Committee, certainly have something ready to clear that up. Now, as I understand it, this is financing it in those research buildings in the same way that the stadium is financed. And I've heard some opposition, but I've kind of wondered why football is more important than research buildings. But that'll be an argument. Yeah, it's Sandy.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Watson, on page 62 is when it – you talk about a state agency on line 31. Is MNSCU considered a state agency?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas, The definition in Chapter 16B of state agency is very broad.
But not the University of Minnesota, I would assume.
I'll have to look it up.
Any further questions? Senator Cohen?
Mr. Chairman, a couple things. First of all, just a couple of comments about amendments that are not going to be offered. One is that we've discussed, or actually I think I've talked about this with Ms. Blair, a proposal for homeless support. And I had the amendment, but it's not quite ready to be offered. And earlier in the meeting, you indicated, Mr. Chairman, that I should offer that in the Finance Committee. Okay. Yeah. The second thing, and I recognize that it's difficult to put a bill like this together, and obviously my experience was when Senator Berglund and Mr. Chairman, yourself and myself were chairs of that trifurcated, that legendary trifurcated Finance Committee, and I recognize that this isn't very easy. As you know, St. Paul has the position that our highest priority is not in the bill, and that's not to suggest that there hasn't been some good work with other St. Paul proposals and an attempt to deal with the multiplicity of requests you get. It's my understanding that I don't know about the instruction, but the suggestion from the chairman was that if St. Paul wants to look at what's in the bill in terms of St. Paul proposals, we can come back and offer a small reworking within St. Paul. We're not quite ready to do that. There have been meetings throughout the day with St. Paul senators and representatives from St. Paul. But what we'd like to do is to talk to you when we have something better formulated. We thought we were close, but we also wanted to talk to be honest, a couple of House members as well. So we'd like to get back to you on that between now and finance, if that's okay with you. And that certainly is a bonding issue, and I'm not looking to rework this bill in the Finance Committee, but hope we can talk to you when we've got things a little bit more settled among the group of us.
And that will require more than conversation with me. I think it'll, maybe the leadership and so on will have something to say about it. But we'll be talking about it.
The leadership? I thought you were the leadership.
I'm the leadership of this committee. Good as can be in your committee.
Oh, okay. Well, that's between – all right, fine. You and me. Great. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to apprise you of that. Let me ask a couple of questions then, if I might. The first thing is, I'm not sure what your intent is, but when we get the forecast on Thursday with the expectation that it's going to be a larger deficit than what was reported in November, arguably there might be a diminishment of the 3%. I don't know if it wouldn't be significant. I don't know if your intent would be to do something with that at the front end or see how that resolves itself down the road?
Well, of course it would be down the road someplace, but Senator, you realize that according to the Department of Finance, in this biennium we're at 2.42%. Now, they were before my committee before, and I tried to explain to them what happened to the $78 million that didn't get spent last time and how you could get from 2.42% to 3% by simply passing a $965 million bill. They can't tell me because I said, you will never get to the 3%, will we? No, they said we won't. And so there's a real bone of contention here about what you do to get to the 3%. And I would be willing to say with my farm boy high school education that I'm right and they're wrong. Because we are not, this bill is not going to get us to 3%. From 2.42%, it is not.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, that's what I assumed. I just wanted to make sure that we understood. The second question, and Mr. Chairman, you and I have talked about this, and I just want to make sure everybody on the committee realizes, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Can we just get a detailing before we get to finance of the general fund dollars in the bill? Obviously, there's some additional money. For you've explained the Lewis and Clark, I believe, which is what about is that 5.3? Okay.
3.9 for Browns Valley, 600 for that digital mapping.
Mr. Chairman, I guess what I'm going to ask is just so we all understand, I think I understand why some of these are general fund appropriations, but maybe just not a long explanation, but you know, a couple of sentences as to.
Well, the Bronze Valley, I explained that it's in that bypass channel. See, the river comes out of South Dakota, goes through Bronze Valley, and comes back and goes through, goes into South Dakota again. The bypass channel has to be in South Dakota. We cannot bond in another state. That's kind of the same thing as the Lewis and Clark thing. So it had to be cash. That had to be cash. As far as the digital mapping, that's where the airplane flies overhead, and with the technology today, they can tell within a few inches of the topography of the land. Now, Department of Finance, that information is going to last far more than 20 years, but Department of Finance said, no, that's not bondable, so that $600,000 is cash as well. That's been in vetoed bills and filibusters and all that kind of stuff. Other than that.
It's all on the spreadsheet, Mr. Chairman.
Well, no, it's on the spreadsheet.
I was trying to, Mr. Chairman, I was trying to, find, as we went through the spreadsheet, I was trying to track it down, but...
Mr. Chair, at the end of the spreadsheet is general fund, $25.455 million, and you'll see as you go through the spreadsheet, you'll see each of the general fund categories.
So could we highlight those for me?
There's that federal money that came in for the transportation. I keep forgetting what they call that, but there's cash for that. Some of that couldn't be bonded.
Go ahead. Okay, Browns Valley, $3.9 million. The Red River Basin digital mapping, $600,000. The Wildlife Rehab Center, $500,000. There's $720,000 under Bowser, under the Water and Soil Resources, for the Wetland Program Administration, and $300,000 for the Biofuels Pilot Project Administration.
And why is that cash, the biofuels?
It's administrative costs.
Just administrative, okay.
And then the Urban Partnership is $9 million general fund to transportation, to the Department of Transportation, and $4.003 to the Met Council for the Urban Partnership. And under the Public Facilities Authority, there's $300,000 for the wastewater infrastructure program, and there's $100,000 to streamline the infrastructure financing, and $750,000 to the Upper Sioux community. And I think that's it. Or wait, no, maybe this. And then the Lewis and Clark, 5.282.
And isn't there's additional debt service.
And the debt service shows on page, on the last page, does it, Dave?
About
5 million. Right, it's the same as the governor's proposal, 5.4 million, or is it just 5 million for the debt service?
Okay, and I'm sorry, I didn't. Where is that on the last page?
That's not on the spreadsheet. It adds up to the total is 25.455, and the 5 million is included in there.
Okay.
So those other things that I read off added up to 20,455.
Yeah. And so what is the debt service figure then?
Mr. Chairman, the debt service is $5 million based on the amount of GO bonds. The projects added up to $25,455,000. So it would be $30,455,000.
Okay.
And total.
So $30 million or $25
million? $30,455,000, including the $5 million for the debt service.
You see, you thought it was part of that?
Yeah, I thought it was part of that.
Oh.
Okay, so we did, Mr. Chairman, we just spent another $5 million. Is that correct?
Oh, but there was... I think we were quoting 30 or 31 million to you quite a while back.
Well, no, the figure I got from Ms. Blair yesterday was 25. Was the 25.455?
I guess she thought that the debt service was part of the 25, and it's in addition to it.
Okay, and that's what I had thought. Mr. Chairman, just a couple of comments about that. Let's make sure everybody on the committee understands that when we're talking about the additional debt service, we're doing so because in the budget, in the budget we adopted last year, there was debt service accounted for at what, $645 or something?
$600 and some million.
Okay. And that's what was in the budget last year. Well, with whether it's 2.4% or 3%, whatever the figure is, with the discussion that we would have a bonding bill, an allowable bonding bill of $965, that requires the payment for the additional debt service that was not accounted for in last year's budget. So, you know, that's money that we haven't appropriated yet. And so what members need to be aware of, and obviously everybody serves on a finance division and some of the people at the table are on the finance committee, we're going to have to account for this money. And in effect, you can make an argument that it gets added to the deficit, that if the deficit is, pick your number, 650, 750, whatever number you'll want, we add to that the general fund appropriation from the transportation bill, which is now passed, which is something like 3.5 or 3.6. We add to that what I thought was 25.4, but apparently more, 30 million. Another one-time expenditure that'll be showing up will be the victims' compensation fund for the bridge collapse, depending on what figure that is. And that's separate from any you know, smaller nickel-dime kinds of expenditures. So I just want to make sure people understand when this bill comes, when the bill comes to finance, we're not going to start reworking budgets and hold up this bill. But I want people to understand that somehow the finance committee is going to have to account for the general fund dollars in this bill. So thereby making my point, there's no free lunch.
We never thought there was.
You and I never thought there was. I want to make sure everybody else on the committee understands that that's the case.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question? And this kind of relates to Senator Cohen. And I asked this question in the last committee. When we spend money on, do we bond for Veterans Affairs, and then we get reimbursed back 60%, that money immediately goes in a general fund. This is a question either to Mr. Watson or Senator Cohen.
I can answer that. Right. In this bill, we are not doing the federal share. In the past, to speed things up a little bit, we would fund the total amount, then the federal would come back with their 65% and would go to the general fund, which is terrible financing, as we know. So what we are doing now is just funding the state share, and then when the federal comes, then the project gets funded. The only reason that we did that before, because it does tend to speed it up a little bit. But there was one, I think there was one project there, we said that when the reimbursement came back, it would go into the asset preservation for the veterans' homes. And at least that was a little better.
All right.
Because, you know, putting it in a general fund and then paying for it for 20 years after you spent it, that was, I'm surprised the Department of Finance didn't really catch that one. But
can I just say something else? Being, I know it's hot in here, and I just want to, I want to thank all the staff for all the help that they've given, and I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman. But I just want to say that I'm, you know, obviously I'm going to vote for the bill, but I just want to say that, you know, there was a lot of worthy projects, and I think there was a lot of worthy projects in my district that weren't in this bill. Obviously, I'm very disappointed in that. The folks back home are going to be disappointed, but I understand that we're in some difficult times, and I'm just hopeful that, you know, some of these might be considered down the road. So just thanks. And thanks to your staff and Marge, who's not here. Thank her for all her hard work, and just really appreciate it.
Yeah, these local projects, or even you can say some of the regional projects, have been getting squeezed out because the cost of these projects, with the building costs going where they have been going just like this, 67% increases in the last few years. So we want to hold on to the state's responsibility with higher ed and all these, and that is just kind of squeezing out the local projects. And I know they are extremely popular, because I know a couple of the communities that we got for you last time, you got 80% of the vote. And we understand we understand why you're disappointed.
Thank you.
Well, I think we could spend $2 billion and do it with very good investments, because we're saying no to an awful lot of very good investments. Senator Stump.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question on the sustainable building guidelines. Maybe Mr. Watson can help me out. When we say state building, how much or how many, what percent of the projects would not be picked up under that guideline? Do you know?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stump, I don't know the percentage, but in answer to Senator Pappas's earlier question, Minsky would not be included in the definition of a state agency, so this would not apply to Minsky projects. Okay. You take out Minsky and the U of M. I have no idea what the percentage would be.
It seems like it's an important provision. I don't know exactly what it means when you talk about the state energy code, but just dealing with the K-12 or the education facilities, I would think that we as a legislative body would want to try to push the new buildings as far as we can get in terms of energy efficiency and I mean, not do anything crazy in the sense of doubling the cost or something like that. But I would think that it would be our role as state leaders to say there are ways of putting up a building that make a lot of sense considering the high cost of energy, and especially in the future, and the efficiency of that building over time. And if we leave out large blocks of that, those buildings, whether it's Minsky or the U of M or other projects that aren't picked up under that, you know, I think we should think twice about that, because I mean, this is our way of being able to send that message out there on how to change.
But, you know, we went through this energy thing many years ago, or 20 years ago. They were putting in, I mean, they made the buildings too tight. And then we found out in a lot of these school buildings, the kids were getting sick because there wasn't enough ventilation. So the idea is fine. We just better make sure we know what we're doing.
Right.
I'm not sure about some of this in here now, but we got some time to take a look at it.
Seems a little tight in here right now.
That's certainly a lot
too. I can tell you that. But Mr. Chairman, it would be interesting to know how many buildings are actually picked up. If Minsky isn't picked up, if university isn't picked up, and if state is defined as however it's defined, we might not be picking up just a small percentage.
Yeah, could be. Sandy?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Watson, which does not include Minsky, both, or a state agency or a state building? I didn't.
The definition of state agency in 16B
uh-huh.
means any state officer, employee, board, commission, authority, department, or other agency of the executive branch of state government, but unless specifically provided elsewhere in this chapter, agencies do not include the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. So it's not a state agency purposes.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, what about state building with the sustainable building guidelines?
Well, I think one of the problems that Senator Stumpf is highlighting is that it doesn't apply to buildings owned by local government or buildings that would be, I guess they'd all be owned by a local government. But the regional event centers, the hockey arenas and those kinds of things that are at the local level would not be covered.
But does it include Minsky?
No.
It does not include Minsky either.
They would not be covered by the sustainable buildings, right.
Okay, well, Senator Stump, maybe we need to have a conversation with Minsky and the University of Minnesota to see if they want to be included.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's going to be some discussion on this before we get through. Senator Solon.
Mr. Chair and Senator Stump, have I got a deal for you. We have a bill that was heard today that's called the Sustainable Building 2030 proposal. And this would require all state bonded facilities to meet criteria so they'd be actually carbon neutral by the year 2030. And it also sets standards so the private facilities could comply with this if they so chose. But and we will have a chance to discuss this, but I think it would be great to apply it to our state bonded facilities. And also, while there are some, maybe 1% increase in the cost up front, they recoup it in about 5 to 10 years, and then they have additional energy savings as time goes on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We should definitely look at it. Whether we're ready for it this year or not, we'll find out as we move along. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make a few points on the bill. I assume we're voting on this tonight and moving along.
You bet we are.
I just want to make three points and then a question for guidance for the future as well. But I appreciate the time you spent with me and Kathy as well in hearing out a lot of concerns for Dakota County and the south suburbs. There are a few things that I just wanted to hope that you'd keep an open mind as the bill moves forward through the conference committee. And one of them is, and I want the committee to know as well, and the Cedar Avenue Bus Rapid Transit, that's a project that has been in the works for at least 6 years. The state has put in for several installments of that. And the phase that is now due is the construction phase of the actual roadway now. And unfortunately, the governor did not put that in his proposals, which kind of left us hanging a bit and scrambling. And I appreciate the effort that you put forth, Mr. Chairman, on putting $6 million in. I don't know what the actual number is, or we're going to have to talk with the county folks and the engineers and such to find out exactly what can be done with that. The Urban Partnership Agreement grants is helpful, but it's for pieces of this that are going to come, later, and it doesn't help us with the phase that we need right now. So we're working on that, and if you would please keep an open mind as this goes to the Conference Committee. I don't know what the House is going to do. The other item, too, the next two items were a little more concerning. One was the Vermilion Highlands land acquisition. Mr. Watson mentioned earlier, when he was reading through the language in the bill on page 83, some language changed about the $6 million that we appropriated last year for that grant for that regional park. And this is something that is very critical for the county. This area here is in the exact geographic central location of Dakota County. And in the decades to come, it will be this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This land, once it's gone, it's gone. Last year, this committee in the legislature appropriated $6 million. The reason we didn't do the full amount is we were in negotiations. The county folks were working on that, and you don't want to put all your money on the table up front. So now there is, as of a week ago, a contingent purchase agreement, and they've got the numbers nailed down, and now it's time to step up with that last installment. We don't have anything for that in this bill.
Well, I think it's eligible for the wildlife management areas, that money. You say it's not there. I think it might be there.
Okay. Well, we'll have to follow up on that, lead, and sure. I appreciate that. But if it's not, I would, again, I'd request that we can talk some more about that, because that is very, very important. And the other item, and also with a question, is regarding the public safety training centers. The legislature has wrestled with this for a few years about what is the state's role in this. We're funding, I think, at least five, maybe six of them around the state. And one question is, I'm wondering, the Dakota County Public Safety and Training Center proposal was not funded. I was wondering, were there some other requests that were for these facilities that were not funded? And then also going forward, my question is there criteria that now that it looks like it's a state policy that we are going to be involved with local communities and efforts to do these training centers, is there an established criteria so that Dakota County or any other groups that put together collaborative efforts for these, is there criteria that they can try to meet to make these, to be funded?
Well, I am concerned about that as well, because they're almost going to come on top of each other the way these requests are coming in. I was concerned about the Dakota County one because it's so close to the Scott County one, which we are funding. I have been told that the training the two of them do is entirely different, and that may be. So there could be we'll have to take another look at that in the future. But I am concerned, as you are, that we got to space these a little bit. Now, the one I think at Fort Ripley is the most important. It's $5 million of our money and $19 million of federal money, and they're going to build an entire village for their training with the firemen and so on. So I think that one is the most important as far as the policy and so on. And we do have to be careful with the rest. But we're completing the Olmsted County one. We're supplementing now the Scott County one. And there are several other requests. So I am aware that there could be a problem here.
Okay. I understand. And we should probably, I just think it's probably a wise state policy if we get the folks that serve on the Public Safety Committee and Judiciary who probably know a lot more about this as far as what types of training and what is important. We should probably involve them and develop some set of criteria so that we don't have the overlap, so that different regions are pursuing different things and we're not colliding and competing for the same dollars trying to do the same thing. So
I think there was a policy that came out of a policy committee years back. Senator Frederickson, do you remember that?
Mr. Chairman, yes. The state was divided into several regions, and the idea of that state plan was to have one of these central regional training facilities in each of the regions. Mm-hmm. And I believe the only one that has been built so far is in southwest Minnesota. That's at Marshall, and there's a little bit of money in this bill to enhance that. And I believe the next one is probably Rochester. But I believe at this point the only one that's been built has been in southwest Minnesota. And that's the only request you've received here, too, is for that one in all of southwest Minnesota is for that one facility.
Well, the one in Scott County, they've done some building with the money we appropriated before, the rifle ranges and so on. So, but we're going to be keeping an eye on that. Senator St. John?
Chair, to open this bill up for discussion, I would move that SC 5657-3, as amended, be recommended for introduction as a committee bill.
Okay, the motion has been made. Any further comments or questions before we take the vote? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried. Any adjourn? Thank you.
Are you a rock star?